Hour two of the Lori and Julia show, April Fool's Day edition is going on.
Yeah, we're broadcasting in an alternate universe. This right now is not really Lori and Julia of 2021. This is Lori and Julia that are moving backwards in time, and it is now 2019 right now.
And Lori's got a gold tooth.
Yeah, and I've recently acquired a gold tooth.
Now,
and closed the gap in my teeth.
Here's something about the Capri. Remember the man Capri, Rafael Nadal would play tennis in these, right?
And European men were the first to wear the
Manpri.
The Manpri.
And I'm like, how does he run around with crap over his knees?
With their cross body bag.
Yes. Yes, the MERS.
And their nice sandal mandal.
Yes, they had all that. Now, Rocco, would you be a guy who would wear a Capri?
Yes, you know, at one point I had some sort of...
Manpris?
I think my friends called them shants because they were longer than shorts and shorter than pants.
Yeah.
And I did that for a little bit, and then it's kind of sort of looked dumb.
You saw a picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, and mine, you know, there's... They weren't like huge, fat cargo pants that were just like too long. But, you know, they were kind of man capris. And I don't know, I wore them for a few months and then it, you know, it just sort of ran its course.
Yeah.
But that was also like in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you had probably had on a slip-on sandal.
Like many a fashion. It just runs its course.
But they do.
I know.
They do.
I know. I just.
Okay, let's talk about the Real Housewife arrest. That's shaking the world of reality show TV, with half the housewives going, you know, with admiration. They wish that they could get this much fame, but very glad that they didn't get arrested.
Oh,
because,
my word.
Because Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jen Shah, arrested in Vail yesterday.
While filming,
on Tuesday. And Entertainment Tonight had... We do not know if they were actually filming when the feds arrested
her, or if she
was
en route
or doing makeup.
Right.
Ladies had been there. They had been in Vail for a few days.
Yes.
And writer and Bravo superfan Evan Ross Katz shared on Twitter a direct message he got from Heather Gay,
one of the most
popular housewife on Salt Lake City.
Yes.
She just said in capital letters, "I am shooketh."
Mm-hmm.
And he shared the private message with people on Twitter and Insta, captioning the comment with the skull emoji, which basically, you know, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Heather said, go ahead. I'd like this to be how it
gets. Sure, my response.
There. But I bet every one of those women were really surprised. Although I will give it up to Meredith at the reunion, even after Jen Shah gave her explanation of how she made her money, Meredith in her very way, she just kind of goes, well, I still don't really understand what all of that means, but okay. You know.
And so did Heather.
Yes.
They both did kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay.
But imagine.
She was arrested along with her assistant on charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering for allegedly ripping off hundreds of victims in a telemarketing scam. And according, they're scamming hundreds of people across the country, many of whom were 55 and over, with very, you know, flattering, too good to be true, but getting them to invest in dubious online projects and selling bogus business services going back to 2012 to as recently as this month. So... anyway, and then Meredith's son.
I think that's kind of a perfect response. I am shooketh.
Shooketh.
You're not.
Well, because it's kind of funny, you know, the Lord.
It is. It totally fits with the Mormon church and everything like that, but it also doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Except for we're shocked.
Yeah. And then Meredith Marks's son, Brooks, the one who made the tracksuit, who's just a spoiled little diva.
Beyond.
But he's 21.
Yep,
so
beyond.
So he's full of
himself,
know,
right?
He videoed himself lip-syncing to the rap song Mama. People thought that was a dig at criminal charges facing Jen Shah, because if you remember, Brooks faked being very upset because Jen Shaw scissor kicked her legs and maybe didn't have underwear on. And
right.
He really overacted.
Yes.
In his reality show.
But it would be
spotlight.
Like seeing your mom's friend's vag. Yeah. People would react, Laurie.
Well, I know, but like acid had been thrown in his eyes, Julia. It was just overacting on every level. You know, but I do get a kick out of him, and you know, so what? And Brooks was, you know, that's him just being Brooks. So anyway, and Meredith came to Twitter to defend her son.
This next
year, she's going to have to get over that, okay? If your son is big enough to have a social media presence,
on the television show and having a presence.
You don't need to be Mama Bear defending him. He has got to be dying that you're doing that, and he's probably telling her, shut up, and I agree.
All right, there you go.
I don't think that the mom needs to defend.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
So, and I guess I got to watch Jersey. I was at bowling last night, but apparently there was an epic fight between the sister-in-laws, Melissa Gorga and Teresa Giudice, who's really being a biatch.
Melissa is.
No.
Teresa is.
Teresa, big surprise.
Yeah, boy.
I'm telling you, I think that she doesn't have enough room in her forehead, if you look at her hairline.
For a brain.
No, she's got a brain, but she's very reptilian. Her first response to absolutely everything is fight. You know, so you have fight or flight.
Okay, so this is because she has a very low hairline. She's more like a reptilian.
Well, everyone has fight or flight. The frontal cortex, Rocco, you know this probably.
Okay.
Your frontal cortex is fight or flight. This is
basically
when people are upset, when people are angry. This is why parents employ time out.
Yep.
And it's not something that, you know, people like you and I's age, you know, we might have gotten a spanking, you know,
100%,
not a timeout.
And that would be the fight
right.
of the parent.
And, but no, so anyway, she always fights. She fights, and she doubles down, and she plays dirty. She does all
No one told her to pause, take a breath.
It's just that's
more information.
That's her way, but I think based on this physical attribute,
right?
I feel that she is more reptilian and always goes to the fight mode instead of the flight mode.
100%. But I love it that you just take it all down to her hairline.
Yeah, the forehead. No, I have for years. This is just
her personality is based on her hairline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So
I think, you know, what's kind of interesting right now is,
I mean, they threw cheese cubes at each other. I cannot wait to watch this.
Well, you and I have thrown pens, but
yes.
Never cheese cubes.
Mm-mm.
That's funny, Lori.
It is funny.
Well, seriously, right now, I feel like, you know, the Real Housewives were a major part of last year, and I want to thank them for entertainment. I mean, seriously, we relied when Salt Lake came out, that was...
Julia.
You've relied on them for years, but I this past year, I'm thankful, and I might even go in and watch New Jersey, which is so wrong.
Oh, don't.
I can't stand them.
I love it. They do fight a lot. There
they
is
fight
a lot
too
of
much for me.
Oh, I love it.
I know, but I really, this
it
year
feels
was everything.
It's good to get some aggression out that way.
All right, let's come back with Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right. Does anyone know where the first place in the United States was to use 911 as the emergency number?
I'm going to say this is, Rocco and I definitely do not
this
know.
This is for $100. Rocco?
D.C.
Nope. Haleyville, Alabama, in February of 1968.
For a tornado?
That was just the first time they used it.
Okay.
And then the second place was Nome, Alaska, a few weeks later. So 911 started in 1968. If that ever comes up, any new ones trivia thing? Now,
I'm going to tell you to find a new group of people to play that game with, if that's one of the questions.
Okay, do you guys know where the expression, my bad, came from? Rocco, you might know this because it's
do.
A sports thing.
Yeah, was it, it was like a basketball player that didn't speak very good English. Was it Dikembe Mutombo?
Yes, yes.
He meant to say like my fault, but he said my bad.
So that's where that came from and it kind of stuck. That was a good one. All right. Let's see. Lori, you might know this. Instead of saying once upon a time to start out fairy tales, in Korea, fairy tales usually start with this saying.
Korea. I don't know.
This All right. In the old days, when tigers used to smoke.
Oh.
So instead of once upon a time, in the old days when tigers used to smoke. That's kind of cute, isn't it?
Maybe, you know, it's like the in the old days when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Right.
You know, you've heard
But when tigers smoke.
Yeah, right.
I think I like theirs a little better.
Same.
All right. How many? There's a study, a behavioral psychologist in the UK named Robin Dunbar shared news about research on how many friends we actually need. And so here are the categories, you guys. So
you're tiptoeing into theory area, but go ahead.
Oh, that's I don't need to.
No, go ahead.
I've got plenty of other stuff here.
Please give us this theory.
Okay, so how many best friends do you guys think you need? And this is best friends, because so here's the categories. You have best friends, someone who you'd give a kidney to. You've got supportive friends, people you'd be really upset. Or they'd be upset if they found out you died.
Yeah.
And you've got good friends, the people you invite to a big birthday party, but not a small dinner party. So how many best friends do they say you really need?
Well, I don't like to think in terms of best friends, mm-hmm. but like good friends, because maybe you have a couple friends that are your, like, you would be my best friend, you know.
All right, but not a best friend, but a very close friend.
I'm going to say like about a dozen.
Wow.
Like, maybe 12 people.
They say five.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. Five in that tier.
Mm-hmm.
And then supportive friends.
Well, you only have two kidneys to give away.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's true.
You don't want too many.
But a total of 12 friends. Maybe that's what I mean.
Well, people who'd be upset if you died.
Yeah, you should have at least a dozen people.
That's 12 to 15.
Okay.
Yeah. Supportive friends. But really good friends, they say 50. I mean, that's a lot of friends. But here are some key numbers, okay? If you're going to start a book club.
Have a party. Have like a big party with a band and start counting up your friends. And you'll be surprised at how fast you get to 50.
Good friends.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that people are like, oh, you can find them. If it's the right event.
You're right, because I say a big birthday party.
Yep.
How many did you invite to yours?
There were 150 people there.
Remember the
Flamingos played at my 50th birthday party.
Yeah.
That's right, Rocco. It's so
Lori
fun.
Is nifty. She's turning 50 or something. I still have the brochure on this computer
here. Schuler's Tavern, and I didn't really give anyone directions, and apparently it was before MapQuest.
But well, I'd never even seen it, but you even told me. I mean, we made it there, but it was
Schuler's.
Yeah.
It was right after the Basilica Block Party. It started at 10:30 at night.
That was so decadent.
I know. Maybe I'm going to have another party with that band.
That was so fun. What was the name of the band?
The Flamin' O's.
No, I know. I sang a song with them.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that was a fun night. Okay, so, but here are the ideal numbers. If you were going to start a book club, 10. No more than 10.
Oh, 10 people in a book club?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's a lot.
Well, you've got five that'll read the book.
Right, that's true.
Five that'll host the party.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the best number
And not everyone can go every week.
Exactly.
Every meeting.
Yeah, 10 leaves it at, you know, boy, that'll. Yeah. And then a dinner party at 6.
Well, I'm going to start culling my friend list right now, you know, I know that you've given us parameters. Rocco, you better get out your pen and start scratching.
Yeah.
Names off
we don't list. We don't have the emotional capacity or energy to handle too many best friends.
I would agree
and close friends.
I would agree with that.
It's too much, because if you take on,
you don't. It requires all the sharing of feeling, which is exhausting. No, it really.
And
is.
The listening to other people's.
Yes.
That is the other piece of it.
That's what I mean.
Yes,
feelings involved either yakking or hearing, Julia.
Yes.
Both directions are tiring.
I would agree with you, Lori, on that one. What do you guys think is the number one comfort food? Number one.
For Americans?
Just for everyone.
For
your
everybody?
Go-to food.
Pizza. It's got to be pizza.
Your go-to food when you're having a bad day. You guys are both wrong. Chocolate. And I'm just going to tell you that a mini M&M pack, like a fun pack you would get at Halloween, that mini pack with a lot of M&Ms only has 100 calories.
Are you counting calories again? Is that what this means?
You can only eat 8 dots. Dots have way more calories than the chocolate. I was surprised by that.
It takes a lot of sugar to make those mounds.
I was surprised. I was super, super surprised by that. Surly is going to open again, reopening June 1st. Remember they closed indefinitely last November?
Is this a surprise? Didn't we all know they'd open up when it got nice out again? But wasn't it kind of a union thing?
Yes.
Don't try and tell me to be glad when they were going to do this all along.
Yes.
Did you know there's going to be like a food hall down there too?
At Surly?
Yeah, right in that area. Because that's right kind of by where we work here.
No, it's like if we could make a sidewalk and make a straight run through it, it would be a really good walk. You know, because it's weird how you have to get there from work.
The market at Malcolm Yards.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, and there's like a lot of cool restaurants that we all like.
Oh.
That are going to be there. I'll look and see when that opens. But
all right.
That's going to be a pretty cool area over there.
Yeah, because it's...
And that's a good place to go and have a little pre-party and then get on the light rail, go see a soccer game, go downtown.
Mm-hmm. You know, when's all that going to start happening? When are we going to be able to do all this?
Well, you can go to a Twins game.
Paint the picture. Right.
Well,
but only like 3,000. Like it's like,
isn't it 10?
10, or 10,000. Yeah, but it's, you got to do the app. And you know what? People that are printers, I feel sorry for the printers. They're losing business right and left with all this coming to the phone thing.
Well, here is what our thing is about all the apps. You know, we had to do this to get tickets to go to Excel. We had to do this to get some tickets for some other things last year. Is that there are some places in the Twin Cities that still don't have good Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I noticed this a lot lately. I don't know if I drive the Twin Cities every day, but there are big pockets on 494 where there's literally no coverage. It's weird. All right, I want to tell you guys about a new show that's going to be coming out that you're going to want to put on your DVR. It's on Channel 2. It starts Sunday night, Lori.
What is it?
It's called Atlantic Crossing, and it's for fans of The Crown and Downton Abbey.
Ooh.
It's a masterpiece miniseries about how Norway's royal family kept a stiff upper lip during World War II. But what they say is viewers who care more about romance than historical accuracy will be too busy swooning over the leads than quibble about some of the facts.
Very nice.
Atlantic Crossing on Channel 2 on Sunday night.
Because you know what? If you don't DVR that stuff, it's impossible to find on demand. You got to pay for it.
You got to pay $2 an episode. Yep.
All right.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. All right. We will be back.
A little Billie Eilish for you. Okay. So let's have a little TV talk.
Yes.
Here's the big thing that's happening tonight for people
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. They have been running ads for that. If you've even casually changed the channel to NBC in the last 2 months, they've been promoting the Law and Order, Elliot Stabler, Olivia Benson crossover episode.
SUV or whatever crossover. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be Law and Order Organized Crime and the crossover with Law and Order Special Victims Unit, which is my number one comfort TV thing that I just can watch endlessly over and over.
I don't think I've ever watched one.
Oh, love Law and Order SVU. I mean, that's where I got my law degree.
Oh, you have yours. Okay. Yeah. I got mine on LA Law.
Okay. Rocco, do you like any of the Law and Orders?
I have never really gotten into those.
Neither
really?
Have I.
Oh, my gosh. Apparently Olivia Benson is epic.
She's Mariska Hargitay.
And yeah, it's just so good. Anyway, it's happening. It's happening tonight, the crossover event. So just set your DVRs and...
And if you're not doing that, you know what other people are going to be watching?
What are they going to be watching?
Top Chef.
Oh, is that back?
It's coming back. And they filmed it last fall in Portland. And Portland has been a city of great unrest.
Right.
And during COVID. And so Padma Lakshmi was on Good Morning or Today Show, because I think it's an NBC product, talking about how different it was, how interesting it was, and how, you know, really a peak at time, too. Yeah. It's going to be. I love Top Chef. Tom Colicchio's back, and, you know, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I kind of feel like I might want to watch it.
That's my version of Law & Order SVU for you, okay?
I haven't watched Top Chef in a long time.
Yeah.
But
you're going to go back?
I don't know. Yeah. It's not a good. Actually, I have tennis starting at 9:15, so no.
Rocco, are you watching anything?
You know, I did knock out I don't usually like prank shows.
Oh, what'd you like?
But I've been watching a little bit of the Eric Andre show, Bad Trip, on Netflix.
Is it good?
It's pretty funny.
Is it? Is it a prank show?
It's like, it's like a movie. It sort of has a plot line, but it's basically just a series of pranks. I don't know. You guys might like it. I don't know what your tolerance level for that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and based on that review,
no, you've not even peaked.
Exactly nobody on the show.
if people out there like prank shows and like,
okay, you like know, a punked, like kinda, that.
Like in the first scene, he's working at a car wash and the vacuum accidentally sucks up his jumpsuit and he's naked.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny. Oh. And supposedly there's a climactic scene at the end that everybody's kind of on Twitter is kind of talking about. So I might make it that far. And
there
I did knock out about over half of Kong or Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, and?
Night. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be your thing either, but it's all right. You know, it's a lot of CGI and big monsters fighting each other. And
oh, I'm so out.
Okay, now I read something completely different.
All right,
this is what I read. This is from Lainey Gossip, our gal at Lainey.
Yeah.
And she said, there's an answer. Here's how Hollywood answered how to make Godzilla work. By making him dumb. Just make him a big dumb monster in the middle of a big dumb movie. And voila, it more or less works as a Hollywood movie. Because she says you've got Alexander Skarsgård as the good scientist. Everyone thinks is crazy. Rebecca Hall is the good scientist everyone thinks is smart. Demian Bashir is the rich evil scientist, because always these movies have these stereotypes.
Sure.
There's a special child, and Kyle Chandler and Millie Bobby Brown return as people from, like, apparently the movie that was
the last
before
one.
This.
Okay.
And then there's an unspecial child and a podcaster. And she said, every single thing every one of these people does is completely stupid and nonsensical, but they all look damn good doing it. It looks spectacular. Everyone is lit like angels are vomiting sunshine directly onto their best angles, even in the dark scenes. Finally, a Godzilla movie where we can see the damn action.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know who's in it? You watched Atlanta, right, Lori?
Yeah.
The guy who played his buddy Paperboy, the rapper.
He's
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yes.
He's the podcaster.
He's the podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
The plot, she said, there is not a universe anywhere in which this movie makes a little bit of sense. She said, if you think it sounds stupid, buckle the hell up because it gets even dumber. She said, but even though it's the dumbest movie on the block, Godzilla versus Kong, it's tremendously fun. She said, by the time Kong is riding Mega Godzilla like a mechanical bull, we've gone down the rabbit hole of idiotic ideas, and every insane thing that happens, the movie gets even more fun. I'm not sure I'm supposed to laugh during the final fight. It's literal screaming nonsense, but I'm also not sure if I'm not supposed to laugh.
Yeah, I'll probably finish it tonight.
Yay. I'm totally watching this movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
You're right, though. It doesn't, like, the plot is like, they got to, you know, without giving it anything away, they theorize that in order to defeat Godzilla, they need to go into the center of the hollow earth.
Yeah, see, just go with it.
Oh,
that's
please.
What I think is the fun of it. Just go with it, and that we can see the monsters.
Well, that's interesting, because I'll never forget when Pirates of the Caribbean 2 came out, and we had a DVD of it, and we watched it at home, and you couldn't see one thing.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
So dumb.
Same. So it's nice that you can see the monsters.
Right.
I haven't watched Godzilla since Cybill Shepherd was in it.
Yeah.
Which might have been the first one.
Mm.
Or the first.
Cybill Shepherd was in Godzilla?
She wasn't one of them, wasn't she? No, it wasn't her, but another blonde in a white slip dress. Who was it?
Are you thinking of
Jessica Lange
in King Kong? So you were right on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So close and so far away at the same time.
I haven't watched Godzilla since Cybill Shepherd was in it.
Yes.
We'll write that one down.
Oh my gosh, it's fun to be me sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Would someone please hold some space in their heart for Sharon Osbourne? According to Us Weekly, she's bitterly disappointed. Last week, CBS parted ways with Sharon, the last original host of The Talk, after deciding that her on-air freak out over her defense of Piers Morgan, you know, did not align with their values for a respectful workplace.
Right.
And Sharon, you know, was allowed to quit, but she did it, you know, they put it out after 6 o'clock on Friday, which is really late.
Yep.
And then she was, people was leaking, like I said, that she got paid $10 million. Well, CBS is saying, au contraire, they finally answered. They said, Sharon quit of her own accord.
Yep.
There has been no payout. They are completely denying the claim, which is why Sharon hired a lawyer. Reading between the lines of
that. So why would she just want to save face to say she got a big payout so she looks better? Because people ran with that story. It was everywhere.
Because, and I told you when I first saw it, I go, but it's an inside source is telling this. So it's somebody from Sharon Osbourne's team. And her family is saying in different ways, you know, through different sources that she is being hung out to dry for something she hasn't done. And it is ironic that Sharon is having the same experience as Meghan Markle, a person she felt should be quiet and take the abuse she got.
Sure.
I mean, it is an irony of ironies, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
But Meghan hadn't done anything wrong, whereas Sharon, the Karen Osbourne, went full Karen on live television for the world to see, actually said the F word.
Yes.
Live on the live thing. Yes. And she is over there in Beverly Hills acting like the world's done her dirty and we should feel sorry for her. And I just say, Sharon, you just get in that corner and you eat your white fragility food that you served up yourself.
Wow.
And enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll understand finally why the daily attacks that Piers Morgan and the British press were deploying against Meghan, they were so horrifying, she thought about taking her life.
Right, right.
Princess Diana had the exact same experience with being in the royal family and the press.
Right.
And Meghan could not figure out, what will it take for anyone to defend me, to not deny these stories, to muster up support for her. So, anyway, it's just...
Well, Kelly, her daughter went out and did a paparazzi stroll last night with her boyfriend.
I'm sure, but I mean, she can just stew in her salty white tears on the and go back to the island of salty British tears.
Sharon!
The Bridgerton cast, so they're doing kind of a cute thing for the Screen Actor Guild Awards. And because normally, like, this show happens in January and it kind of gives a, you know, like, it just gives a bump to the shows, what wins. But the Screen Actor Guild Awards, they did get it right in their nominations for TV. So they are trying to gather the cast because they're filming Bridgerton season 2 in England. So nobody is, you know,
going to be in a...
Yeah, no one's in LA. The whole show is being taped. But they did have four of the characters at the virtual. I think our friend Tanya went to the press conference.
Yes, today.
Today. And this is the Bridgerton cast. The number one question, of course, everyone wants to know on all the sexy, steamy scenes, what did you do when your family was there?
Reggae at some point said that he got some calls from unsuspecting family members about those racy scenes they didn't really know were coming. Did you guys have any similar experiences, or did you warn family or friends that maybe it's not just the period drama that we were all expecting?
I watched it with my sister and just left the room. That was my decision I made. I think it was quite a sensible.
I did exactly the same thing. you choose your moments. You know when it's coming, and you let them get on with it and deal with it, and then you come back.
You make a tea, yeah.
Let them get
a cup of tea.
I decided to binge watch it with my gran.
Oh god,
that's a feather in
a bit of an odd situation.
Oh, we're having bad audio.
Yeah, we are.
Stuff like that happens.
Forget it, Rocco. That was Polly Walker who played the Featherington.
Yes. Who was so
with
fantastic.
And all of
so
that.
So fantastic.
But every one of them. No, we can't watch it with our family, but they're nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Awards for Best Ensemble Drama. Oh. I have a feeling they're going to win it. We would have at least got to wink at Reggae Jean Page, Julia. Well, maybe he'll be there next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, never know.
Very
possible. You never know.
All right, listen, we come back. We're going to Hollywood speak what a naked rock climber has to say about her naked rock climbing.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right, let's get at it.
There's a lady by the name, she's 37. You can find her online under the name Princess Leia.
Slaya?
Slaya. Her name is Laura Jasorka, and she is a climber, and she climbs nude, and then she posts the photos, and she insists it's artistic and not pornographic, although, quote-unquote, I am more prone to grazes when rock climbing naked and end up with more scratches, but at least I won't snag my clothes.
Okay. I'm just going to say ouch. I mean, so she wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
She's athletic. And this is the way she's making a name for herself.
And she's combining. If she hangs in the right position long enough, she can do some perineum, Sunny.
There you go, which, you know, was a rage a couple years ago. We haven't heard about a lot of perineum sunning in the COVID.
No, but I mean, who wants to climb? She's
naked.
Got shoes on.
Yeah, of course.
But you kind of haul yourself around.
She's probably wearing a safety belt with all the clips and stuff, isn't she? Doesn't she have a belt on around her?
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
Does she have big boobs? If she doesn't have big boobs.
Well, your face, you see the back of her, because when you're climbing, your boobs are facing the wall.
Does she have a nice butt? Is it a good view? Is it worth it to be naked climbing?
No, I don't think it is, no matter what. I think it's...
Well, I would agree with you no matter what. I'm just going to say ouch.
It's not porn. It's not art. It's stupid.
It's a thirst trap. It's someone trying to get attention.
All right.
And her way is combining her fanny and her love of rock climbing.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to look at the photos, quite frankly.
Oh, my word.
Rocco, go ahead and look at Princess
Slaya. Yeah, I'm on it.
Are you looking at it?
I'm starting to get there,
Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever you want to do, but to me, it sounds like it would be painful.
Oh, be on, Lori.
Let your clothes get snagged. That's what they're for. Okay.
Okay, she just showed me a picture of someone with tattoos.
That's the lady.
Oh.
The attention.
Yeah, she needs attention.
Okay. Remember last week when Chrissy Teigen deleted her Twitter and I said she was going to go extra hard on Instagram?
Or something. Yep.
Something.
Yep.
Well, she named, you know, she's on People's Most Beautiful. She's the cover.
Right.
I was reminded by Rachel Lindsay watching Extra this morning that Chrissy Teigen was a host on Extra, like 11 years ago.
Okay.
She had a job on Extra.
Nice.
I'd forgotten about that.
Okay.
Anyway, but she has been Instagramming like crazy since she went off Twitter. I mean, do we follow her?
We do, Lori. I really feel like there's a little bit of a lull happening.
Well, it's Easter week, so people are gone. But I mean, she is Instagramming extra hard. So that's all that's happening.
Okay. She went off one to work on another.
And Courtney Stodden did, you know, like, because Chrissy Teigen basically said she quit Twitter because of criticism. And the criticism was because she has some kind of a natural cleaning product with Kris Jenner, when we know either one of these ladies do not clean, and they haven't for a long time. But Courtney Stodden spoke up a few days ago saying it was pretty rich for somebody who was a nasty, mean girl bully to her, which was Chrissy Teigen, to complain about people being mean to her. And Chrissy does have a real long, hundreds of tweets saying rude, terrible things about Courtney Stodden when she was just 16.
Is Courtney Stodden the one that married Doug from Apple Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was always a mystery to me.
Well, her parents did her dirty by allowing her to
marry and date an older man. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's bad parenting. I love it. I think that is so true.
Yeah.
That can't judge the girl, judge the parents that age. Okay,
Britney Spears, ex-makeup artist, said, remember yesterday, the Instagram post where she said she was embarrassed by the New York Times framing Britney Spears and cried for 2 weeks?
Yep.
He's like, who do you think benefits from that storytelling? Not Britney, her dad.
Explain. Well, explain for us slow people sitting right across from you in the plexiglass.
That documentary made people that watched it feel and look at Britney in a different light, and feeling bad about maybe how you'd talked about her or joked about her, or like you were like, why were we so casual about the way she was treated?
Mm-hmm.
It was eye-opening.
Yes, it was.
And it was eye-opening in the sense that, you know, Britney, maybe you don't believe all the way the Free Britney thing, because we do know and that she did have some kind of a breakdown.
Yes,
and everything.
Did. Right.
But does that mean she should be under her father's thumb for the rest of her life and he's dictating everything? So I don't know in what way really did that make Britney feel embarrassed.
Yeah. Oh.
If you think about it, he just said it's not her writing that.
Okay, got it. All right.
I mean, that's his take. It's more of a controlling thing. And he personally spoke to Britney and she said she had no control over the caption.
Got it. Okay.
So she's paying the lawyers. And today, or last night,
she's paying the lawyers for her dad to sue her.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like at $1.8
million
for the 2 years they've been fighting. Anyway, I mean, Rocco, didn't you feel like you looked at Britney in a different light?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
And then in a way that we felt like we all were part of doing something wrong. We were all part.
Yes, 100%. I think that's what's happening in the lens of a lot of people with media.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, Nicole Kidman, here's just a little nugget of a thing that she had to say about her 11-year relationship with Tom Cruise.
Oh, please.
It was her job to be seen and not heard.
Yep.
Now, that may be the most
honest thing we've
ever heard her say, and it says a lot.
That's pretty amazing that she says, I just can't wait till Katie Holmes and Nicole Kidman sit down with Mimi Rogers and they just have a coffee clutch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have a little sit down and just.
And none of them are in Scientology anymore. And Mimi Rogers was a second generation Scientologist.
And introduced it to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
We have not heard from Tommy.
And don't forget, Nicole Kidman was only 21 when she met him. And he watched that movie Dead Calm and wanted her cast.
Yeah, it's the one about being on the ship with Sam Neill.
That's a good movie.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Rocco,
that's a great movie.
Good one to watch.
That is a great movie. Yep.
Dead Calm.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Calm.
Creepy guy, girl.
Is it Sam Neill or what was the guy's?
I think it's Sam Neill.
That
is such Australian.
And then they met on Days of Thunder. Then he had her cast in Days of Thunder that they were on together. And then that was it.
Based on seeing her on that movie.
Yes.
Anyway, so she says that. And you know what?
Seen and not heard.
Yeah, to be seen and not heard. And some, maybe, here's a positive.
I totally believe this.
Thing of the, you know, people yelling at Kylie Jenner last week about her $5,000 measly donation to her makeup artist's kidney fund. She turned around and gave $500,000 for a teen cancer center.
I saw that. I thought that was awesome.
Sometimes
peer pressure
shaming
helps.
Celebrities
shaming.
Were.
Sometimes it does work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, she just turned around and she issued a statement, and now she learned her lesson that rich people need to be seen giving big chunks of money.
Did she say that?
No, I said that.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. It's Lori and Julie at My Talk 107.1.